Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Hello, I'm Sue Clark. When was the last time you saw a picket line of striking workers chanting, "We're workers, united, will never be defeated"? In 2008 in Australia, how relevant are trade unions? With his perspective, senior lecturer in industrial relations at the University of Queensland and author of Trade Unionism in Australia, Tom Bramble.
There was a paradox facing Australian trade unions in 2008. With 20% membership and falling, Australian trade unions are in a dire situation. Several of their strongholds in industries ranging from mining to manufacturing have been blasted to bits, and less than 1 in 10 young workers have signed up to the union cause. And yet, unions retain a public relevance as great today as ever before. The Your Right to Work campaign was largely responsible for bringing down the Howard government. One half of all working Australians regularly report they would rather be in a trade union. How can we explain this paradox? Why is it that unions have become so weak and yet retain such pulling power? The Conservatives see only one side of the question. Commentators such as Janet Albrightson argue that the days of union domination, class conflict, and strikes are a thing of the past. We're all individuals now. Others say that the problem is the decline of blue-collar jobs. The sons and daughters of yesterday's wharfies and coal miners are call centre operators and Starbucks staff, supposedly genetically impervious to the appeal of trade unions. These arguments are absurd. If we're all individuals now, why was Work Choices such an electoral stinker? And why did the ACTU's Your Right to Work campaign strike such a chord amongst hundreds of thousands of people? If structural change in the workforce is the problem, why were the unions able to turn the timid staff associations of nurses and teachers of the 1950s into the militant unions we see today? The new employer militancy, exemplified today by Qantas and Telstra, is one obvious partial explanation. Employers have donned their hard hats and taken an axe to trade unions amongst their workforces, sacking activists, ripping up established arrangements, and preventing union organisers from meeting staff. Governments too have been gunning for trade unions. Waves of government industrial relations reform have sought to box the unions in, with Work Choices being the most obvious case. The Rudd government shows no signs of wanting to reverse this trend. However, the crucial factor explaining union decline is that unions have forgotten how to fight. Whereas the Albrightsons of the world say that workers won't join unions because they identify with conflict, the historical record shows that it is precisely at those times that unions do fight for workers' rights that they recruit in spades. During the strike wave of the late 1960s and early 1970s, union membership soared by 32%. The beginning of the rot came precisely at the time that leaders of Australian unions embarked on a cunning plan to strengthen trade unions by forswearing workers' most powerful weapon, the strike. This was the accord arrangement between the ACTU and the Hawke and Keating governments. The ACTU leadership policed the union movement for 13 years, rubber-stamped a 13% cut in real award wages, and then engineered a series of wage-fixing schemes that allowed workers to boost their wages only by accepting work intensification and give backs to the bosses. As workers saw their wages and conditions sold off by their own unions in the name of workplace reform, so unions lost their appeal. If workers wouldn't fight for better wages and conditions or for job security, what incentive was there to join? With the election of the Howard government, union strategy did not change in its essentials. Cozy chats with government ministers were gone, but union leaders still insisted that they had to keep their powder dry when facing the most sustained decline in union coverage in Australian history. Even when staring down Chris Corrigan in the 1998 waterfront dispute, the nation's union leaders were desperate to ensure that the massive sympathy for the wharfies did not develop into large solidarity strikes. The dearest wishes of the union leaders was partnership with business. But with union membership plummeting, business could now sideline the union leaders, leaving them clutching at thin air. The pressure of a world economy going from bad to worse urges the bosses onwards. A dollar saved today by gouging the workforce could be the difference between being prey or predator in the corporate shark pool. The Conservatives are wrong. It's not that workers are so over trade unions. The challenge facing unions is to put aside the failed strategies of compromise and concession pursued over the past quarter century and reach back to the weapons of yesterday that actually built trade unions: the strike, the picket line, and workers' solidarity.
Tom Bramble with today's perspective, and his book Trade Unionism in Australia is published by Cambridge University Press.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.